ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
इस टेक्स्ट 20
21
धानुते
धानुते
ईशवा
ईशवा
सा
राता
राता आयते
आयते
सा
अहम्
अहम् रति
रति
नेपताय
नेपताय
याता
याता
अनामंति
अनामंति
सर्वम्
सर्वम्
शानिना
शानिना
तत्
तत्
आभूत्
आभूत्
आसत्
आसत्
ईशा
ईशा
रिक्तम्
रिक्तम्
भास्मन्
भास्मन्
हुतम्
हुतम्
कुहका
कुहका
राधम्
राधम्
इवा
इवा
उप्तम्
उप्तम्
उष्यम्
उष्यम्
Okay, there is no book around, so the verse is very large, so it's difficult to for you to memorize it. I just really messed. Okay, you have it. Advai dhanusta ishavasa rato hayaste.
Advai dhanusta ishavasa rato hayaste.
Soham ratinripatayo yata anamanti.
Soham ratinripatayo yata anamanti.
Sarvankshanina tad abud asad isharikhtam.
Sarvam shaninatad abud asad ishariktam
Bhasman hutam kuhaka raddam ivoptam pushyam
Bhasman hutam kuhaka raddam ivoptam pushyam
Tat
Tat
The same
The same
Vai
Vai
Certainly
Certainly
Dhanute
Dhanute
The same bow
The same bow
Ishava,
Ishava,
Aros,
Aros,
Sa,
Sa,
the very same,
the very same,
Rata,
Rata,
Chariot,
Chariot,
Hayate,
Hayate,
the very same horses,
the very same horses,
Sa, Aham,
Sa, Aham,
I am the same Arjuna,
I am the same Arjuna,
Rati,
Rati,
the chariot fighter,
the chariot fighter,
Nripataya,
Nripataya,
all the kings,
all the kings,
Yata,
Yata,
whom,
whom,
Anamanti,
Anamanti,
offer their respects,
offer their respects,
Sarvam,
Sarvam,
all,
all,
Kshanina,
Kshanina,
at the moment's notice,
at the moment's notice,
Tat,
Tat,
all those,
all those.
Abut,
Abut
became,
became
Asat,
Asat
useless,
useless
Isha,
Isha
because of the Lord,
because of the Lord
Riktam,
Riktam
being void,
being void
Basman,
Basman
ashes,
ashes
Hutam,
Hutam
offering butter,
offering butter
Kuhaka Radham,
Kuhaka Radham
Money created by magical feats.
Money created by magical feats.
Eva.
Eva.
Like that.
Like that.
Uptam.
Uptam.
Son.
Son.
Usham.
Usham.
In barren lands.
In barren lands.
Translation. I had the very same Gandiva bow, the same arrows, the same chariot drawn by the same horses, and I used them as the same Arjuna, to whom all the kings offered their due respects. But in the absence of Lord Krishna, all of them, at the moment's notice, have become null and void. It is exactly like offering clarified butter on ashes, accumulating money with a magic wand, or sowing seeds on barren land. This is a beautiful verse. Please repeat after me. I had the very same Gandiva bow. The same arrows.
The same arrows.
The same chariot drawn by the same horses.
The same chariot drawn by the same horses.
And I used them as the same Arjuna.
And I used them as the same Arjuna.
To whom all the kings,
offered their due respects.
But in the absence of Lord Krishna. All of them at the moment's notice. Have become null and void. It is exactly like offering clarified butter. On ashes. Accumulating money with a magic wand. Or sowing seeds on barren land. The following purport was written by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As we have discussed more than once, one should not be puffed up by borrowed plums. All energies and powers are derived from the supreme source, Lord Krishna, and they act as long as He desires and cease to function as soon as He withdraws. All electrical energies are received from the powerhouse, and as soon as the powerhouse stops supplying energy, the bulbs are of no use. In a moment's time, such energies can be generated or withdrawn by the supreme will of the Lord. Material civilization without the blessing of the Lord is child's play only. As long as the parents allow the child to play, it is all right. As soon as the parents withdraw, the child has to stop. Human civilization and all activities thereof must be dovetailed with the supreme blessing of the Lord. And without this blessing, all advancement of human civilization is like decoration on a dead body. It is said here that the dead civilization and its activities are something like clarified butter on ashes, the accumulation of money by a magic wand, and the sowing of seeds in a barren land. Tadvait danusta ishava sarato hayaste sohan rati nripatayo yata anamanti sarvangshanena tad abud asat ishariktam basman huta kuhakaradham ivottam usham. I had the very same Gandiva bow, the same arrows, the same chariot drawn by the same horses, and I used them as the same Arjuna, to whom all the kings offered their due respects. But in the absence of Lord Krishna, all of them, at a moment's notice, have become null and void. It is exactly like offering clarified butter on ashes, accumulating money with a magic wand, or sowing seeds on barren land. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militan Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cham Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shirada Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Srivishakam Vitancha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishavano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So during Arjuna's youth, like everybody during the Vedic ages, the sons of Kshatriyas, they would go to Gurukula, a specific Gurukula, to learn how to use weapons. Sons of Brahmanas would go to other type of Gurukula to be trained in Brahminical duties, while the Kshatriyas, they would go for Kshatriya duties. That's different. It's not like today, everybody go to the same school and everybody learns or try to learn the same things and nobody cares about the natural propensities of people. In such a way we create a society of mainly frustrated people because they never could really develop their natural propensity. In Krishna consciousness, there is no, or is not supposed to be, that everybody do everything. After a certain time, the spiritual master should engage his disciple according to the natural propensity of the disciple. Someone may like particular studies, other than may like to go in the kitchen, other than they're musicians, other than maybe painters. So in Krishna consciousness, the philosophy is that after some time, not in the beginning, because sometimes, often, almost always, people do not know exactly what is their natural propensity, because they were doing before joining Krishna consciousness, not necessarily is really what is supposed to do. So after a period of scrutinizing, the spiritual master or the authority of the temple says, look to me that you are a very good musician, so you should study a little more to become a wonderful kirtan leader. In such a way, at the end, after some time, we have a very beautiful kirtans. Because everything we do, especially when we are in front of people, we have to do it first class. And Srila Prabhupada was very adamant on this point. Anything we do, it should be well done, first class. Such a way the devotees are satisfied and the people like it. They come to the temple and what a beautiful kirtan, you know. And the devotees, they know how to dance together. Some kind of choreography when we will go in the street. I remember it was studied a little before. Not that everybody go and one goes off the line and the other one, the devotees in the back, they don't even follow. And so there was some kind of, so the people would see a nice show, a nice spectacle. This is part of art, this is artistic. And Krishna likes beautiful things, beautiful, nicely done. And when people come in the temple and taste first-class prasadam, they like it. Who doesn't like to eat nicely cooked prasadam? So Arjuna was the son of a king, he was a kshatriya, and when he came the right time, he was sent to the school of the spiritual master, And this spiritual master at that time was Dronacharya. Dronacharya was the most important, how you call the teacher of art of fighting?
Martial arts.
Martial arts. He was the number one. There was nobody like him or more than him. So although he was a Brahmana by birth, he learned the art of fighting and he became the number one. So everybody was sending their sons to him for training. So also Arjuna was sent along with his brothers and also his cousins, the son of Dhritarashtra, at Dronacharya's school. And Arjuna was the number one disciple of Dronacharya. He was the number one because he was very dedicated to study, and he was also very humble and listening very, very carefully. You know, when you have the duty of preacher, you develop certain sensitivities and you understand when someone is interested or not. It's not difficult. After some time, you feel it. So Arjuna was so deeply dedicated to Dronacharya's service and learning that he became number one. One time, there was a story how Arjuna became proficient in the art of Brahmastra. Brahmastra is like an atomic weapon who could be launched through an arrow, through mantras. Mantras, they have certain capacities, just like my English is disastrous, you know, it's 1 year that I don't speak English. Just like when you yell a certain type of sound and a certain type of pitch, you can even break the glass, okay? Because sound can provoke a certain chemical reaction in matter. So it's not just a sound that's completely disconnected from gross matter. Brahmastra is a weapon which can be directed and controlled by sound. So in such a way that this sound go inside the nucleus of the atom and provoke an atomic reaction. So that was possible during Vedic times because they knew the art. But this art was not taught to everybody because, you know, it's an atomic weapon. So everybody wanted to know Brahmastra, but Dronacharya would very, very scrutinizingly choose to whom to give it, because this weapon should be used only on the upper planets, not on this planet. But still, you know, somebody has to know the art. And so one time Dronacharya called his disciples and he pointed a certain place and he said, "What do you see?" So the disciples said, "Okay, I see a target, and I see the wall, and I see the tree, and I see the..." And I said, "Okay, no, don't shoot." And then he called, and they said, "What do you see there?" "I see the target, I see a bird who is coming, I see the sky, and I see..." "Okay, you're not going to the next." And then when Arjuna came, Dronacharya asked the same question, "What do you see?" And Arjuna said, "The target." That's it. He didn't see anything else. He was so concentrated that his eyes won't see anything else but the target. And then Dronacharya taught to him the art of Brahmastra. And while he was teaching the art of Brahmastra, Dronacharya's son, Ashwatthama, hidden, was listening. And then his father discovered him and said to him, no, no, you should go away, you are not qualified. In this way, Ashvatthama could learn only the art of launching the Brahmastra, but not to withdraw it. And any devotee, like we have great pandits here, they know the story, how Ashvatthama, at a certain point of the story, which is a very large story, I'm not going to say it all, at a certain point Ashvatthama launched the Brahmastra, but was incapable to control it. So Arjuna was able not only to defend himself and his family from the Brahmastra, but also to withdraw his own Brahmastra and Ashvatthama's Brahmastra. This is the power of studying correctly, of spending the period of studying with concentrated attention in learning, that after, when the period of learning is gone, you can do wonderful things. But if you are a mediocre student, you are going to be a mediocre everything in Krishna consciousness. You are never really going to do big things. And you can see it, big leaders in our movement, you can see that they were very attentive students when they were young. They were studying the scripture, they were serving, they were respecting all the etiquettes, etc. And then due to this attentive and serious apprentice period, then they became great preachers or great cooks or great everything. Because the Krishna consciousness is not only the knowledge of a certain topic that makes you a good teacher. There is, you need something else that is inside what you learn, some quality, some spice. You know, it's like two cooks, they cook in the same way, but the real good cook, he knows how to put that particular little quantity more or little quantity less of spice that makes the preparation, the dish, completely different from anyone else. Just like you can give, you can learn by memory Srila Prabhupada classes, but you'll never be able to have the same effect than Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Prabhupada was talking, it had a power inside, mixed in the words, and that transcendental power made effect. It was not what he was saying. Because again, you can say the same things, but you are not going to found a movement, a worldwide movement, in less than 10 years. You're never going to do that. So you had to learn, but also you had to learn how to be spiritually advanced, to put transcendental quality inside what you do. And Arjuna was such a student, and that's why he did big things in his life. And at the end of his life, just before retiring, he had a realization. Of course, you already knew, but he had the realization that he was so powerful only by Krishna's grace. Somebody, very often, people ask, how can we give nice classes? How can we preach nicely? How can we do? And there is no doubt that the first quality is that never think that you are the author of what you say or what you do. Don't think, I am a good kirtan leader, I am a good class giver, I am a good this. Because the moment you think that, you go blank. You just don't know that, you just don't know what to say. Your mind becomes poof, everything goes away. And we have many, many stories in our tradition that teaches us that Krishna can give or Krishna can withdraw at any moment. And what is the moment, the right moment, when Krishna takes away, when you become puffed up, when you become proud. You know the story of how Narada Muni got a monkey face? You ever heard the story? It's in the Padma Purana, it's a beautiful story.
He thought he had conquered over sex desire or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. He went to Vishnu to inform him that you have a great devotee. You have a devotee who never felt any sex attraction. So he went to Vishnu and tell him that. And Vishnu didn't seem very, very, impressed at all. So Narada Muni, when he went away from Vaikuntha, he was wondering, how come Vishnu is not impressed? You know, this is not easy. You know, I conquered it so through that I never felt any sex attraction. So he was kind of wandering and flying in the sky. He had this power of flying, moving very quickly, etc. He saw a very beautiful city below him. And he said, oh, I never saw this city. I traveled all over the universe, and I never saw this city. Let me visit it. So he went to this city. I read the stories 15 years ago. I don't remember all the names, etc. But anyway, the city had a name, and he went to visit the king, and the king received him with all respects, etc. And then a very excessively beautiful girl came here. So the king said, oh, this is my daughter. I remember the name of the daughter. My God, my memory is really failing me. So, and Narada Muni was immediately very attracted, because this beauty was not a beauty of this world. It was very particular. It was something that you could, they had never seen such a beauty. So in this way, Narada Muni felt so attracted. And the king and he thought to marry her. And the king said, tomorrow we are going to have Vasvayamvara, which is a ceremony and a festival in which princes they choose in various ways their husband. Narada Muni came to know that this girl had a strong desire to marry Vishnu, Lord Hari. And that was her vow, that was her determination. I will marry only Lord Hari. So Narada Muni was thinking, no, I want to marry this girl. So he went again to Vishnu and said, I want a face of Hari, like your face, so she will marry me. So in Sanskrit, Hari has a several meaning, like many words, Sanskrit words has several meaning, depending from the context of the phrase, it takes a different meaning. So Hari comes from Hari, the Berber root, which means to deliver. So Hari means the deliverer. But Hari means also a monkey. So he went to Vishnu and said, I want Hari's face. And Vishnu said, okay, you got it. So he couldn't see his own face, that he got a monkey face. He went again back, and the Svayamvara began, and everybody was laughing at him. You know, and Narada was very, very proud, that sure, now I got a very beautiful face, and the princess, when she will come to me, she will put the garland on my neck, setting me, and that's for sure. So the princess started to go, looking to all the prince and brahmanas and sages who came there with the idea and decide to marry her. But when she came in front of Narada, she didn't even look at him. So Narada said, why didn't you choose me? Look how beautiful I am. And everybody started to laugh, you know, because, oh, yeah, you have a rich face, very nice face. So he went back to Vishnu, and he was very angry. Narada was really angry, and he said, what did you do to me? I got this monkey face. Everybody's telling me that I got a monkey face. And Vishnu said, oh, you are a Sanskrit scholar. Don't you know that Hari means also monkey? You asked me my monkey face, I gave it to you. And he became very, very angry, and he said, oh, your heart is so hard, and that one day you'll take birth as a stone. So through this curse, Lord Vishnu one day became the Shalagram Shila. And there is a long story about the Shalagram Shila we are not going to tell today. It's another beautiful story. So Narada, he was so frustrated because she wanted this princess. All at once, everything disappeared. Poof, like this. And he was looking around and said, what is the city? What is the king? What is the beautiful girl I want to marry? And Vishnu said, they never existed. It was my Maya. It was my creation. It was an illusion. Because you came to me, you were so proud of your power, of your strength, that you thought to be transcendental to all attraction. I proved you that if I take away my blessing, which is the cause of your power, if I take it away, you are going to be like any human being attracted to an illusory form, to a dream. This form is a dream. That's not factual exist. Because just like it came, it will go. It may be tomorrow. Tomorrow this form, which is beautiful, not in my case, but you know, in many cases the body may seem beautiful, but this is definitely just a dream. The other day I was thinking, since we spoke in Puerto Rico about this topic a few days ago, and I was thinking how to explain this point. Have it ever happened to you that you have a very beautiful dream and you wake up and then you want to go back to sleep trying to get again into the story? You know, I want to follow up with this story. It never happened. You cannot do it. When you lose it, you lose it. So this is material life. The material life is just a dream. It finishes. You may like it or may suffer it, whatever it is, but it's just non-existent. Unless we get this type of conviction and in realization, it will be very difficult to perfect our life. And materialistic people, they live in a dream, which very often become a nightmare. To change it, we had to acquire transcendental knowledge and practice it in this way. We can come out of the nightmare or the dream and live a real life. So this is what I understand from this verse. Of course, there are many other things who can be said, but we don't have much time. In 20 minutes I got to go. But if you have any question, we have 20 minutes. I am at your service, please.
I understood almost everything.
Just a moment. I really need this. This is my service on the internet.
You can speak.
The verse, in the verse, it said, it is just like pouring ghee in ashes was one example, and the other example was, it is just like, or like putting seeds
on a barren land.
Okay, and the seeds on the barren land, those two examples I understood, but accumulating money with a magic wand, that one I didn't understand, that example.
Because it's a kind of magic to make things appear that do not exist. That depends on your sense perception. So you are convinced that you can see things, but others do not see it. It's just your perception. So this is what is referring here. When a magician creates something just for you.
What the government does in their basement, just prints money based on...
It's paper.
No value.
It's paper. And they do. I don't want to talk about economics or politics, but this is just a huge cheating. This is a civilization based on debt. But anyway, I don't want to talk about it. So when you want to impress somebody, you create something and it connects your sense to the particular object. You only, just like the city that Narada Muni visited, it didn't exist, only he could see it, nobody else. It was just an illusion for him. So all your capacities, all your power, all your knowledge become useless unless Krishna gives you, continue to give you his mercy and permission to use it. In verse number 1 of the Sri Upanishad, it is said that Krishna is the supreme proprietor of everything. So we are all living on rented body, rented mind, rented capacities. It's not ours. So until we are connected in devotion to Krishna, then we can use everything Krishna has and become even powerful, so powerful to become Brahma, and we can become Indra, we can become Chandra, we can become an avatar. There are jiva tattva avatars, jiva like us, that Krishna give power. You know, the famous Shakti Avesh. Avesh means something that is being given by somebody else, like a loan, and Shakti means capacity. So a jiva, particularly qualified, receives from Sri Krishna a part of his power and sent for a mission in this world. It is called Shakti Avesh Avatara. But just like Krishna gives you, Krishna can take it away. How to keep this power, how to keep our happiness in life, how to keep our nice spiritual life, never to forget who is the source of our understanding, our attraction to Krishna himself. If you are attracted to Krishna, but at the same time you conduct your spiritual life in a faulty way, like committing aparadas, then one day you are going to fall down. It's not a possibility, it's a certainty. Because you cannot think, I am a great devotee. Nobody is going to take me away from here. Krishna will take you away if you do wrong things that you are not supposed to do, or you don't do things that you are supposed to do. Secret of spiritual life is living internally with a consciousness of dependency on Krishna's mercy. And if we live in this way, then everything will flow nice and pleasing in our life. Any other question?
Did you have anything earlier?
I don't want to make.
Go ahead and speak. Okay.
I don't want to make this personal, but first, grazie for your time today. And I was just wondering, you talk about the right spiritual life, and is it not okay to... I've been a Buddhist for 25 years, but now I find myself here, and I'm very interested in learning and enjoying it very much. But, is that not okay? Am I wasting my time, your time? Isn't it okay to do some things with some practices? And it's all the same in your heart, isn't it?
You mean if it is wrong for you to be here, although you are a Buddhist?
Mm-hmm.
That's your question.
More or less.
More or less.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm. being a Buddhist or being a Christian, or from a certain point of view, being a Vaishnava, a devotee of Krishna, it is like being a woman or being a man or being European or being American or being South America. This is all external. Mm-hmm. Behind all this, there is a truth which pervades all, which pervades everything we are or we think we are, which is the spiritual identity, which is behind the body and behind the incidents of our life, which is in the precise moment in your life that you think to be a Buddhist. This is external, it has nothing to do with the soul. The soul will benefit coming here independently of what you are or what you think you are. So it's not wrong that you come and chant Hare Krishna whenever you like. Don't chant it when you don't like it. And when you feel you come to the temple, when you don't feel coming to the temple, don't come to the temple. And just do what your heart say, because Krishna consciousness is a spontaneous thing. It has to come from the heart. At the same time, since heart and intelligence are two different things, you may, by philosophy, understand that you should come a little more to the temple than your heart say, that you may force yourself and say, you don't want today to go to the temple, but you should go to the temple because you have heard our philosophy saying how important it is to be with devotees. Mm-hmm. Then that's why the cultivation of philosophy is so important, because philosophy goes to the intelligence, while the experience of every day goes to the mind. The mind is a different thing from the intelligence. All the sensorial experiences, all the emotions also, not only the physical senses, but also the subtle senses, they go to the mind. So we become not being in full power of our life, because we are slaves of the quality of the emotions that you had in your life. So although you understand that something is wrong for you, you do it anyway because you have been conditioned for so long, and you do it just for pleasure, or you don't do it because you don't like it. So cultivation of knowledge is important, because when you learn the philosophy, the truth, then you might be able to do things independently if you like it or not, if you feel that is right or not, even if you feel that is right or not. In other words, if you hear some philosophy and you are not convinced, it's not that everything we hear in the temple you feel like embracing or accepting it, but you may also hear some part of the philosophy do accept. So even beyond accepting all the philosophy, the part that you accept may lead you to say, well, since this is true and I accept it is true, let's don't mind whatever I don't believe, I don't accept, and let's go anyway to the temple, because what I understood is enough for me to have some little faith, and maybe it's me they're not understanding correctly. Maybe it's me that due to my present conditions, I'm not able to grasp it, I'm not able to feel it, I'm not able to understand it, so let's go to the temple anyway. Mm-hmm. So we welcome you, no matter who you are, or what you are, or if you're Buddhist, or if you're a Christian. This is the universal transcendental knowledge. It's nothing to do with religion. It's nothing to do with anything material and external.
Thank you, Maharaj Prabhu. I guess I have three questions. I'll try to recall them. In regards to the story of Narada Muni from one of the Puranas, I believe there was another one I heard when him and Krishna were at the source of the water. And I would like you to say if that was actually Narada Muni in a character, and Krishna actually... No, actually they were walking and Krishna became thirsty and he sent Narada to get some water. I'm sorry. Narada asked him about the power of Maya, if he can show him. And Vishnu said no. Have you heard that story? And then he sent him for to have fetch
that
some
is,
water.
That is another version of the same story.
Okay.
Because the Puranas, they say the story in different versions often.
Okay. All right. Anyway, so that's one. But similar, you know, when he was sent him to water, he fetched the water, there was a young girl.
That's bona fide. That's a bona fide story.
And then the whole thing. Okay. All right. Second question is in regards to the Arjuna's chariot. It says here the same chariot was there, but one thing that is absent is Krishna is not there. So, I heard it's there in Mahabharata that after the war, the chariot just went to pieces. So how is that reconciled? That the chariot, you know, went to pieces and it's here, it's still there. And then I have a third question. Shall I say it now or later?
Yeah.
And the third question is in regards to that one word, particular word in a verse, I think it's towards the end of Radham, about the money made by magical means. How is it that, I mean, there is a word Radha in it, in a kind of unusual way, Radha. How is it that Shukadeva Goswami actually was able to handle that word? Because in an indirect way, it does appear.
Okay, thank you. Wow, look, it's so nice to preach in San Antonio, I don't want to go away. Okay, so the first question is, it is a historical fact that Arjuna's chariot was burned to ashes right after, at the end of the Mahabharata war. You know the story. Mm-hmm. That Arjuna was targeted with so many weapons, all kinds of fiery weapons, watery weapons, or subtle weapons, black art weapons, mm-hmm. So many different types of weapons. But because Krishna was driving it, then Arjuna was protected. So at the end of the war, since everything was finished, Krishna said to Arjuna, get down immediately. And he couldn't understand why. And Krishna insisted, get down. Then Krishna got down from the chariot, and the chariot just exploded in. And Krishna said, you think that you won the war because you are a good one, but look what had happened to you during when you were in the chariot. This would happen to you in a chariot if I had not been your chariot driver. So Krishna won the war and not the Pandavas. So here there is some mention of the chariot who cannot be the same. Or there is some story, I don't know. So I will leave it as it is. So about the Radha word, Radha is written differently, it's a different word. Mm-hmm. It has two long vowels, and one D. Here, there's a Radham with two D's and one long vowel. The second vowel is short, so it's not the same word. And while for us it makes very little difference, in Sanskrit, or someone expert in phonetic, it comes out a totally different sound. So that's why Shukadeva Goswami could tolerate this similar sounded word, but it was not the same word because the sound came out very different.
So
just a second. I'm sorry, this is a moderation, I understand. But
so if the sound is very different like that, then the pitch is different, so the effect is completely different. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. The story, you may not know the story, is that in Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimati Radharani is not mentioned. Mm-hmm. You know Srimati Radharani? You have been coming to the temple for some time?
Not too long.
Okay, anyway, Srimati Radharani is the eternal companion of Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
And devotional ecstasies or very, very powerful emotions comes from the heart and mind of someone who is totally pure and has entered into the esoteric place, or rather a Krishna. Shukadeva Goswami, who is the speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the original speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he was so pure and so inside this very elevated emotions that he could not even have uttered the name Radha without going to in ecstasy. So the point is that the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. This king had been cursed to die in 7 days. So Shukadeva Goswami had 7 days to speak the whole Bhagavatam. It's 18,000 verses, it's not a short book. So if Shukadeva Goswami would have said the word Radha, he would have gone in ecstasy for some time. He would not have been able to finish the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's why he totally avoided saying the word Radha.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other question? Okay, thank you very much for your attention. Hare Krishna.